Hi, I'm Richard Burnaby, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Lens, where I speak with inspiring and creative people from all over the world about photography, the arts, travel, conservation, entrepreneurship, and creative culture. In this episode, I'm joined by my good friend, Rick Salmon. Rick is a tireless, prolific, and inspirational image maker of many decades now, and he's one of the most active photographers that I know, dividing his time between creating images, leading photo workshops, making personal appearances, writing books, dozens of them, always educating, creating, and inspiring. Rick's enthusiasm for digital imaging is contagious. He's a man on a mission, after all, a mission to make digital photography fun, creative, exciting, and rewarding for others. He's also fully embraced smartphone photography over the past couple of years, he and his wife, Susan. And having seen the impressive steps Apple and Samsung have taken recently in the image quality of their products, I just don't think these devices can be ignored any longer. I'm certainly curious if what we're seeing now in these phones is the future of photography, and I'm certainly not alone in thinking that. So I thought Rick, having made this conversion or transformation, would be the perfect person to talk to about this. What he's doing now with his smartphones and his experience in fully embracing them for his professional work. Rick's website is ricksammon.com. Salmon is spelled S-A-M-M-O-N, ricksammon.com. Twitter X at Rick Salmon. Instagram at Rick Salmon Photography. Be sure to check out the show notes either on the episode page at beyondthelens.fm or the show notes on your podcast player, Apple, Spotify, or wherever, for the list of relevant links of apps and software Rick uses for his professional smartphone photography. We'll get to our interview right after this short message. This episode is brought to you by Luminar Neo. Friends, let me tell you about this incredibly powerful photo editor that I love called Luminar Neo. Powered by AI technologies, Luminar Neo streamlines the editing process and provides everything you could possibly need to get photos that will look amazing on the screen and in print. Luminar Neo was designed for both hobbyists and pros and includes cutting-edge editing tools all in one intuitive and easy-to-use app. It uses generative AI to intelligently analyze your photos and erase distracting elements in your compositions, add realistic objects that seamlessly blend into the background, or expand the frame in any direction. If that's your thing, of course. If not, it's still one of the most powerful photo editors when keeping your images natural and realistic as well. How you use it is totally up to you. Luminar Neo has all the features you need to enhance your images with precision and ease. And again, I can't stress enough how incredibly easy it is to use and how powerful this editor is. You can use Luminar Neo as a standalone app on your PC or Mac computer, or if you're like me, as a plugin for Adobe Lightroom or Photoshop, so you can keep your existing workflow. Learn more about Luminar Neo and how it can amplify your creative vision for your photos by visiting skylum.com. That's skylum.com. The godfather of photography, Rick Salmon.
I've been called that. Actually, though, I was on Scott Kelby's The Grid. Susan and I were on Scott Kelby's The Grid after the iPhone conference a couple of weeks ago. And he actually dubbed Susan the Duchess. Let me get this right. The Duchess of iPhone Photography Education. So if she's a duchess, I must be the duke.
The duke of photography. Where did the godfather of photography come from?
Do you know Trey Ratcliffe?
Yeah.
Okay, amazing guy, amazing young, talented guy. Mm-hmm. I interviewed him about 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago. So he's even younger then. And yeah. I interviewed him at B&H, and he walks into the B&H event space there where I was doing the interview, and he said, Rick Salmon, the godfather of photography.
And it stuck.
And it stuck. Well, his website is called Stuck in Customs, so yeah, I guess whatever Trey says sticks.
You see, to me, you're the Elvis of photography.
Okay, well, I'll be 74 this year.
I don't mean the mid-70s fat and sweaty Elvis. I'm talking the late 50s lean, mean, pelvis swinging Elvis.
Oh, you sound like Scott Kelby because he says stuff like that. Hey, it's a lean, mean, you know, loving machine, stuff like that. But you know what? Don't you think, Richard, photography and adventure and travel, all this stuff keeps us young at heart?
I can't think of anything else that could keep you any younger. Any younger than travel and having new experiences and doing what you love in the process.
Well, there is one thing that I learned from a friend that is amazing. This will really keep you young and keep you invigorated. I'm watching this guy. He's like on safari in Kenya or Tanzania, someplace over there. And this guy's in the safari vehicle and he's wearing sandals. And he just feels so free and at one with nature. And this keeps him young at heart. And for your listeners who don't know who I'm talking about Mr. Richard Burnaby.
Yes, I have been known to wear sandals on safari.
Me neither. Keeps you young.
Keeps you young and you keep your feet nice and fresh and cool. All right. Yeah. So welcome to the podcast again, Rick. It's always good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you, but we have to meet. You know, you wrote the introduction to the foreword to one of my books.
A fantastic book, by the way.
Well, thank you. I think it was PhotoQuest. I've written so many books, I forget which one. But, you know, we've talked, we've become friends, and we've never met in person.
And by the way, that was quite the honor to have been asked to write that foreword.
Well, thank you, my friend.
So I wanted to talk to you because I'm getting more and more curious about the possibilities of smartphone photography.
Yep.
Something is holding me back. I'm not quite sure it is, but I really do think what's happening there is the future of photography. That and AI, whether you or I or anyone else likes it or not.
Right.
But 10 years down the road, I just can't imagine our future selves still carrying around these heavy, bulky camera bodies and lenses. I just can't.
Yeah. Well, Susan Salmon has been into iPhone photography for, I don't know, 8 years or something like that. And speaking of Scott Kelby, we were in China about 5 years ago. And you've been there, right? Photographing the cormorant fishermen on the Lee River?
Yes.
So everyone's there with their tripods and things like that and their big, heavy cameras. And Susan's there photographing. She's making like slow motion videos. She's taking stills, uploading them because we actually had cell service there to Instagram. Well, we're all, you might use the word fumbling around, you know, in the dim light of pre-dawn trying to get a shot. And that actually convinced Scott that, you know, the iPhone has amazing, amazing possibilities. And I went to Tanzania this year, actually last year, with just my iPhone 14 Pro and the Galaxy S23. And the reason I have the S23 is because it has a 10X lens. So if people are going to listen to this or run out and buy a Galaxy, the S24 doesn't have the 10X lens. So if you could find an S23. So the 10X lens, Richard, is basically a 230-millimeter lens. And with the Resize AI that I use, it's like 460 millimeters. It's just mind-boggling that I could take it to Tanzania. I went to Antarctica, South Georgia, and the Falkland Islands, where you were. Actually, I loved your pictures from there.
I've been there, but we bypassed it this year, or this past year, because of the avian flu.
Right, the bird flu.
But I have been there, yes.
Right. And where else? And we went to Cuba. And I actually think that the iPhone has made me a better photographer.
Okay, we're gonna get into that.
Yep.
You've embraced smartphone technology and smartphone photography, and I want to talk about your experience.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're just going to open up the conversation and riff. We're going to throw away the questions. We're just going to riff. But I'm going to start by just introducing an opening statement. And you respond, and let's just see where things go.
Okay.
You've embraced smartphones. Like you said, you're having more fun and you're being a better photographer. Yep. Maybe your primary tool, if it's not your primary tool, is one of your primary tools. As a top pro in the business, and you are one of the top pros in the business, you're photography Elvis, by the way. Make the case for your decision.
I think the basic case for my decision is, we mentioned that I'm one of the oldest. I want to have fun in my life. And I think having fun is like the key. And if I could have fun and travel lighter and get the same results, you know, why not? And but there's another thing. I think with the another case is this. I love, you know, I tell people, as you may know, that my specialty is not specializing. But when it comes down to it, I love photographing people. So when you're photographing a person, a stranger in a strange land, like you like to do, like I like to do, if you're squinting through a viewfinder, you're like hiding behind the camera.
That's true.
So if you hold the camera, you know, away from you, you're not removed from the scene. So you're more involved in the scene. You could show the person the picture, so the picture looks better. You don't look like a professional photographer. You know, we were in Cuba, and I'm not intimidated. Even though I'm 6'2", I'm not intimidated because I don't have a big, bulky camera. So there's a lot of reasons that I think you could make the case for it. But I think not being removed from the scene and being distracted by, even though these are important things to think about, you know, the histogram, the ISO, the aperture, the shutter speed, not being distracted by those, you're in the scene. Now, there are apps, you know, Lightroom, Even Longer, all these other apps, and with those just two, they give you all these controls that I just mentioned. But if you just want to have fun and get a shot, you know, Edward Weston said composition is the strongest way of seeing. So if that's the most important thing, what could be better than just pointing and shoot? And as you know, you have to know your I have a friend, Hal Schmidt. He's a Top Gun fighter, was a pilot. Now he's an instructor, or he was an instructor. He said you have to be in that cockpit. And, you know, there's so many buttons on the handle. There's so many dials. You have to be able to do this without looking, right? You can't be looking down at a button.
Or playing guitar,
right.
You don't look where your fingers are necessarily, or else you're not really feeling the music. You're being too mechanical.
Exactly. And the same thing with the piano. So that's an excellent analogy, Richard. So if you're just concentrating on composition, if you're concentrating on the mood and the feeling, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening spend a lot of time in Photoshop and Lightroom working on their pictures. So we could change the background. We could change all these different things, you know, afterward. When I say change, you know, make it softer. Or we could change the aperture. So if it could be more fun, if you could get the same results, why lug around all this heavy stuff, which I use when I'm photographing wildlife? I'm going to Alaska in a few weeks, and I'm definitely going to take the Sony with the 200 to 600 and the 70 to 200, but I'm also going to take the iPhone because I love the slow motion, you know, and I love the fun, the slow motion videos.
So you just mentioned earlier that doing smartphone photography has made you a better photographer.
Yeah.
In what way?
I think it's made me a better storyteller because now I could shoot faster. We were walking around in Cuba, and we were in a city called Trinidad. It's about 5 hours away from Cuba, but from Havana. But it took us 10 hours to get there because we stopped at all these amazing places. And Susan and I are walking along with our guide, and I hear this clip-clop behind me. And I turn around, and there's a guy on a horse with a red shirt and a red saddle. You know, National Geographic photographer Al Mulvey told me once, he said, if you want a picture to pop, you know, in a magazine at that time, he said, have the subject wear red. So I was just able to, you know, think about composition. I turned around and I got a series of shots because I was on the burst mode. Speaking of which, you know, the iPhone now has so many features that our mirrorless and our digital SLRs cameras have, including burst. So I'm shooting on the burst mode and I got it. But in Cuba, I was also taking a lot of videos. So I think between the videos and the stills, I've become maybe not a better photographer, but a better storyteller. And that's what our pictures are, right? We're telling a story.
Right. Was there, you mentioned Susan and China.
Yeah.
But for yourself, was there a seminal conversion, like a road to Damascus bolt from the blue moment where you said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this heavy camera equipment away and go with the iPhone.
I don't know if there's a moment, but it was gradual through osmosis. You know, Susan was getting these amazing pictures.
Jealousy, in other words.
What?
Jealousy, in other
words. Jealousy, yeah. I would call it jealousy. She was getting these amazing pictures, and people would come on my workshops, and, you know, we'd set up our tripods and things like that at sunrise and sunsets, and then they would abandon me, and they would be around Susan. I'm not kidding. I have pictures of this. All the tripods are abandoned, Richard. And they're all around Susan, and she's doing all these amazing things. And, you know, I think the apps, like Dramatic Black and White, one of my favorite apps, you know, when we take the color out of the scene, no matter what kind of camera we're using, or when we take the color out of the scene, our pictures can, but not always, look a little more creative, a little more artistic. So she was doing these artistic things. And I think that maybe has made me a little more creative, because right there in the field, I was always thinking about the end result, you know, and cropping and all this stuff. But I'm thinking about it more now. I say, okay, as soon as I take the picture, what can I? Oh, I have this Dramatic Black and White app. I have this app that could, you know, change the background. I don't know if you use a Reheld. Have you tried Reheld app?
No, what is that?
Okay, Reheld. It's by a company called Reflex. And I'll tell you a story what it is. It's a long exposure app. And with the long exposure app, you could handhold, they say, up to a 30-second exposure. And I haven't been able to do that and get a sharp picture, but I have been able to handhold a 15-second exposure. So I'm at the New Croton Dam, which I hope you come visit someday. We have a guest room here. We can have a lot of fun. We could do some videos, have some do some projects. Anyway, the New Croton Dam has this incredible spillway where the water's coming over there. And I'm over there one afternoon, and there's two guys there with their cameras on their tripods and their wide-angle lenses, their neutral density filters, their shutter release buttons. And I'm there with my iPhone taking a 15-second handheld exposure, and I'm showing it to them. They were like flipping out. So they're downloading it right away, and they were getting amazing shots. And it's just, imagine that, a 15-second handheld exposure. Now, even longer is an app that our friend Eric Kuna from Kelby One turned me on to. With even longer, you could make a 24-hour exposure. You need a tripod. But a 24-hour exposure of star trails or whatever, right? Imagine this. And with that even longer app, you can, you know, control the shutter speed and a bunch of other things, you know. So the technology is, you know, in a lot of ways, the phone can do more than a $5,000 mirrorless camera. Try it out. Right?
Yeah, well, that makes it easy.
Yeah.
And video, too. Who wants to mess around doing videos with your mirrorless or DSLR? It's a lot more complicated. The phone doing a video, that's all I use when I'm doing a video.
Well, I saw, and you saw on X, formerly Twitter, that you had a video of you're going down a little river in Borneo. And I said, okay, yes. I'm going to do that on my backyard pond. So that's a storyteller. That's storytelling. And that's what I really like to do. I like to tell stories, as you do.
So you mentioned that you were at the dam. And there's other photographers there with their tripods and their professional equipment and their neutral density filters. Yep. And you're there with your phone.
Yep.
Have you experienced any insecurities, Rick, or diminished stature by working around other pros when you only have an iPhone?
Not at all. Because I think the pictures rival that of a digital SLR. The type of pictures that I take rival the pictures take with a digital SLR or a mirrorless camera. That being said, you could do a wedding. You could do an amazing job shooting a wedding with an iPhone. No one's doing it because no bride and groom's the parents are going to pay, you know, $10,000 or whatever, $5,000 to a wedding photographer is using an iPhone.
But the results would be just as good?
Absolutely.
Well, then there's a stigma. There's a stigma attached to working with a phone, even if the results are just as good, if not better.
And not better in a lot of cases. We were in this mansion in Cuba. You've been to Cuba, right?
Yes.
Did you go to that lady's mansion in Old Havana?
I was all over Old Havana. I don't remember that.
Yeah, we went to this lady's house, and it's amazing. It's a really old mansion. And there's the windows are open and light streaking through, and there's reflections and there's shadows. And I was doing handheld pictures. I have a gallery. Susan and I set up a website. It's called the iPhone Photo Experience, the iPhonePhotoExperience.com. And I have a Cuba gallery there. And I'm if I had a $5,000 mirrorless camera and a $2,000 f2.8, you know, 16 millimeter lens, I wouldn't be able, I would have had to use a tripod and do HDR, take 3, 5, 7 exposures. The high efficiency files with the iPhone are HDR files.
Yep.
You know, the raw files are not. And I've done tests. Sometimes you definitely want to shoot the high efficiency files in really high contrast situations. But I have a printer here. I make 17 by 22 inch prints. My friend Glenn Dewis, I don't know if you know him. He's a Kelby One instructor. He made a 72 inch print from an iPhone shot.
I think that the results speak for themselves. I just didn't know if a lot of pros, and maybe this is me, I'm talking about myself here, the stigma of being seen as an amateur showing up with a phone. Like you mentioned, the wedding photographer, you're going to pay $5,000 to have someone photograph your daughter's wedding, and then they show up with they pull an iPhone out of their pocket. What are you going to think? What would you think?
Yeah, well, right now I would pay the photographer. Right? But Susan and I also last year we did an iPhone only photo workshop on the Oregon coast. Have you been to the Oregon coast?
Yes, I have.
So you know how beautiful it is.
Of course.
So we're teaching low light. We're teaching long exposures. We're teaching, you know, a composition. We're teaching apps. And people loved it. The workshop sold out right away. So
beautiful.
And, you know, the iPhone conference that Kelby One put on.
Just finished.
I think it was one of their most successful, most popular conferences. Because I think, as you said up front, this is the future, you know?
Imagine 5 years from now, or imagine 10 years from now, what phones are going to be able to do. And they are on the cutting edge of technology, too.
Well, there's satellites right now that can, you know, read license plates from, you know, 8 to 10 miles up in the sky, right? So when that when that technology trickles down to the consumer level, you know, just the sensors keep getting better and better and better. The software, the upsizing programs, the noise reduction, you know, that I could go to when I went to Africa. I'm leading a workshop there with our friend Ian Plant. You know who that is. Mm-hmm. And everyone, including Ian, had, you know, the big cameras and all this other stuff. And I'm there with my Galaxy S23 and my iPhone. And because we had a good guide and because I was really lucky, I got pictures that were just as good as everyone else's pictures. Our guide, I have pictures of a leopard in a tree from – now, if I was far away, I wouldn't be able to get it. I might have been like 50 feet away or less from two leopards in a tree. Unbelievable that I was able to get these shots with the S23. And one day we're out photographing a sunrise, Richard, and people are, you know, have their big cameras. And I'm there with the iPhone because the high dynamic range, the high efficiency files. People were looking at my phone, say my picture doesn't look like that. Oh, I said, well, you can work on it in Photoshop and, you know, do this, you know, while I'm having happy hour and wearing my sandals in the lodge.
So you've mentioned Cuba and you've mentioned Tanzania. Yeah. Can you point to a specific project or trip where the exclusive use of a smartphone produced more impactful results than you could with a mirrorless camera or DSLR? I know you went to Morocco as your first, like, all iPhone trip, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes. And I think I would not have gotten as many. That was my challenge. That was the first one. That was actually just about a year ago. It was in March 2023. One afternoon, we go into the sand dunes where you've been, right? Mm-hmm. And the sun's setting. And our driver was amazing. He gets us right to the edge of the sand dunes, and he parks the vehicle, and I see this camel train, right? The, you know, about eight people on camels, and the guy pulling them over the crest of the hill, and the sun is setting behind him. I said, this is going to make a great silhouette. I had to run my ass off to try to get that shot. And if I had a big camera and thinking about lenses and stuff, I wouldn't have been able to. I think I would have missed it. And then I looked the total opposite way, and then I see their shadows. So I was able to get the guy was able to go from the silhouettes to the shadows, you know, back and forth. And because I knew they were, you know, high efficiency files, basically HDR files, I didn't have to, you know, I could control the exposure, as you know, just by touching on the screen and reducing the exposure, pulling it down just a little bit. I definitely would have missed those shots. I think there, where some people, as you know, don't like to be photographed, I didn't look like a professional. And the other thing is, there was another situation where we're in the desert, and I wanted the camels separated from the background. And I'm with a friend of mine. And I said, well, hold your camera down really low to the ground and just, you know, look at the screen and tilt it up. And then what we did is we turned the camera upside down, so the lens was really low to the ground. So I don't think I would have gotten as many good pictures in Morocco if I had a big camera.
That's a huge advantage, is to be able to work fast.
Well, that's it.
Without getting your camera bag out and taking the body out, putting the lens on, maybe having to get a tripod, go ahead and put the settings on. And before you know it, a moment like you just mentioned could be gone.
Right. That's it. The speed, in addition to being called the Godfather, some people call me the shoot and scoot photographer because I shoot. And I don't have, like, you know, 6 months like a National Geographic photographer. But I'm having, I don't think I've ever had so much fun with the, and that's probably not true, but I'm having a ton of fun with these, going to Antarctica with these two phones only, and I'm doing that again. Did I miss some shots? Yes.
The wildlife stuff.
Well, as you know, in South Georgia, yes, the wildlife. There were some wildlife shots I missed. I'm sure if I did the polar bears, I would, as you've done, I would take the long lens. But for like city shooting, Cuba, Morocco, it's just around here, it's just so much fun.
We'll be right back to the show after this short message. This episode is brought to you by Case Filters. Look, I travel the world with my camera, and I can use any photography filter I like. And trust me, I've tried them all. But I only trust my photos to Case Filters. That's Case with a K, K-A-S-E. Why? Well, they're made with premium materials, HD optical glass, shockproof, no color cast, unlike some filters I've used in the past, round and square filter designs, magnetic systems, filter holders, adapters, step-up rings, everything I need so I never miss a moment. And now my listeners can get 10% off the Case Filters Amazon page when they visit beyondthelens.fm/case and use coupon code Burnaby10. Check it out. beyondthelens.fm/case. Use Burnaby10 at checkout for 10% off your Case Filters Amazon order. Case Filters, capture with confidence.
Has there been any major drawback? I mean, digital noise, dynamic range, limits to your manual controls, battery life, anything that has been like a, would fall on the negative side of the ledger?
I would say, you know, noise is an issue, but with Topaz denoise and Topaz sharpener, you know, this helps a lot. But what I'm doing is I'm shooting now, you know, knowing the limitations. And we have to do that with all our gear, right? What's the limitation of a $5,000 or $8,000 camera, right?
But there's limitations to all the cameras.
Yeah, limitations to a guitar, to a keyboard, or whatever. So I would say just the telephoto stuff is a limitation. But I think the fun I had in Antarctica outweighed missing the feeling of missing something. But again, going to Alaska, and the main thing is going to be photographing the bald eagles. And although they come close, there's, you know, we're going during herring season, so there's going to be like hundreds around every day.
Right.
But I'm going to be surprised. I'm going to look forward to see what Susan gets with her iPhone.
How is your post-processing workflow different when using your smartphone as opposed to traditional camera like DSLR or mirrorless?
Yeah, well, there's two parts, I guess. The post-processing, one is with the apps in the phone.
Do you have some favorites?
I would say, actually, I have all my apps in a folder right now. I would say Snapseed is my favorite. Snapseed, do you use it?
I don't.
Yeah, Snapseed gives you all the controls that, believe it or not, Camera Raw gives you, right? Maybe not to the same degree. It has the exposure control, the shadows, the highlights, the cloning, the this and the that, the cropping. I would say Snapseed is amazing. Dramatic black and white gives you the most dramatic black and white pictures you've ever seen. It does give you, because it increases the contrast, usually get some noise in there, which I take out with Topaz denoise. Distressed FX for artistic quality images is really cool. And the long exposure apps, Reheld, R-E-E-H-E-L-D is amazing.
By the way, I'm going to put all these in the show notes so people can get access to.
Okay. I can send you a list.
Memorize this. Yeah, sure.
Even longer is really cool. And the Reflex app. The Reflex app is really cool. It gives you all the controls. You know, I have it up here. The ISO, the shutter speed, exposure compensation, focus, white balance, has a grid, the histogram, has a zebra stripes to show you what's in focus, what's overexposed. You shoot raw, and all the self timer, the grid. Now with the Reflex app from Reflex, they sell a case, and with the case, you could screw on their lenses. So in Cuba, I had the telephoto lens, a 2x telephoto lens, and I had the fisheye lens. And I think setting goals in our photography and in our lives is really important. So I had been to Cuba before, Richard, and I had a million pictures of the cars, you know, with like, you know, 24 millimeter lens or whatever. So I wanted a different type of picture. So I wanted a picture like either inside the car or the back of one of the old cars with that fisheye lens showing, you know, just how cool the insides are and the surrounding areas. So I used that there, and I used a 2x lens as a portrait lens. They also have super macro lenses. So the
you can screw on their lenses, but if it's on the case.
Yes, exactly. You definitely need the case to use those lenses.
Any other accessories like that case that you go to?
Actually, people say, do you have one of those grips? You know, there are grips that you can put your phone in and hold it with two handles, you know, and things like that. This is the last thing. Why did I get into it? iPhone photography.
You did it to simplify, not to make it more complex.
Exactly. Exactly. So I just want to my guess is I'm never going to get any of those things.
So aside from these apps, any other differences in how you process the images beyond the apps?
Well, if I really love an image, then I'll bring it into a Photoshop. Like I was talking about this woman that I photographed in her old mansion. There were a lot of things I wanted to do about that image, like basically selective burning and dodging. So I could have done something like that in Snapseed, but I brought it into Photoshop, and I probably spent about a half hour working on that one image. And it paid off. So on certain images, I will definitely bring it into Photoshop or Lightroom and work on that until I'm happy. And then I'll go back and work on it again.
Are you going to shoot the eclipse? I guess we have coming up next month. Or are you not going to be here?
Yeah, I'm not going to be. Are you?
I'm not going to be here either. I was just wondering if you're going to try something with the iPhone.
I'm not, but I am going. Eric Kuna is doing, again, from Kelby One, is doing a Milky Way photography workshop out in the Badlands.
With phones.
Well, you could bring whatever you want, but he's going to show us how to get, like he did last year, how to get great pictures with the iPhones. And that's the other thing, the night mode, the night photography mode in both the iPhone and the Galaxy S23 are amazing. You know, what do you want to do? Go out there and like think about all this stuff, or just go out and point it and if the goal is, we just talked about goals. If the goal is to get a good shot, right? Why not? Why not use it?
So just imagine 5 years from now and 10 years from now, what these phones are going to be able to do. That's why I think that the future is here.
It is here. And, you mentioned AI before. That's here to stay too. And that's changing everything.
Yeah.
You know? And when I got into AI, I don't know if you saw it back in August, I was slammed. People called me names that I wouldn't even on Facebook that everyone could see that I wouldn't even use on your podcast because I respect you and your listeners. And no, Rick's going to this, he's going to lose his credibility. But I always say what it is and that I'm doing it always because honesty is the best policy. But that's died down now. You know, I don't get that anymore. And just in the few months from August, you said what's going to happen in 5 years, just from August to October, November, about 5 or 6 months later, the AI hate has really diminished.
So there's already AI being built into these phones.
Well, yeah, there's AI built into the mirrorless cameras with eye detection for photographing, you know, bald eagles flying at 40 or 50 or 60 miles an hour, right? That's AI.
But the newer innovations seem to be in the phones, and then they trickle down to the mirrorless cameras. I just read this morning, there's a company called Prophecy. It developed a new sensor technology that eliminates any blur at all from photos. And it's going to be using Qualcomm's Snapdragon sensor. And I guess that's going to be for Samsung phones. And I'm going to quote this article here. It's a website called Digital Trends, and I'll put the link also in the show notes. But it says, Prophecy's patented MetaVision sensors and AI mimic how the human eye and brain work, says the company. The event-based approach of MetaVision sensor tech deploys motion blur cancellation to ensure that the final results don't show any sign of movement-triggered fuzziness. And then it goes on to say that the sensor is being created in collaboration with Sony. So there you go. You have a Sony mirrorless camera, you're going to see that technology in a year or two, 100%.
Yeah. It's moving so fast. And, you know, if I were a younger photographer, I would be a little nervous about the future, you know?
In what way?
Well, especially with AI, I have a picture that I took at Snow Hill Island of two emperor penguins, which are bigger than the kings, with a chick between them. It's the classic shot that, you know, National Geographic would want on the cover. They're like facing each other. The chick's looking up. The background's blurred. So I go into Midjourney. I type in two emperor penguins, you know, in Antarctica with the chick in between looking up. And I posted them side by side on Facebook. It was amazing what Midjourney did. So a stock, you know, National Geographic's not going to use that, but someone, you know, who wants to sell something like a, you know, penguin, I was going to say penguin cologne, but you know how bad they smell. you know, penguin.
That's
penguin.
A bad business idea.
Yeah. Actually, I was looking up something about penguins and someone wrote a whole article. And every single picture in the article was created in a program. It looked like Midjourney, which looks fake, of course. But you said in 5 years, you are not going to be able to. Right now, it's hard to tell in some situations.
It seems like you embraced AI almost at the same time as embracing smartphones. Any connection there?
No.
Is it coincidence or is there a connection? Or is the connection just that you're open to new ideas and new technology?
I think
as a person,
that, I think it's that. I think, you know, I said I haven't had this much fun in a long time. I think AI is fun. I think the phone is fun. But there's an expression from Bruce, a quote from Bruce Barton. He said, when you're through changing, you're through.
You're through.
Right? When you're through changing, you're through. And I don't want to be a dinosaur, you know? I know a lot of people, actually the people who slam me, some of them are stock photographers and they're worried about what's going to happen. And well, this is happening in music too, right? There are so many programs out there that generate, you know, unbelievable music. But I think we have to embrace, even if you don't embrace it. I have a friend, a couple of friends on Facebook, and they said, well, I'm not embracing it, but I understand it and I accept it. So maybe embrace isn't the right word. I've embraced it because I use it. But I think we have to accept that the world is changing so fast. I don't think, you know, you've been around for a while. I've been around longer. I don't think it's changed this fast.
So you had a lot of blowback on the AI stuff. I understand that. Did you have any blowback when you started using your smartphone? Was there any kind of a reaction from your fans on social media or your peers in photography?
I don't think so. Not that I can recall. But it's funny. Everyone's so interested in gear, right? You know, I bet your listeners on your podcast, which I know is it the most popular photo podcast or one of the most popular?
It varies, but I've been number one a couple times.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure if we asked all your listeners, what camera did Ansel Adams use? Nobody would know.
Yeah.
Nobody would know because it didn't matter. Right. And a lot of people don't know that he actually used a Polaroid camera. Right. I saw him in a Polaroid commercial once for the national parks. I didn't see it live on TV. One of his assistants, John Sexton, showed it when I was teaching with them. I have a funny Ansel Adams story. It would only take a minute. Can I tell you? Because it's kind of related to what we were talking about.
Please do, Rick.
Okay. So I don't know if you know John Sexton. Mm-hmm. He'd be a great guest for your podcast. He was one of Ansel Adams' assistants. He does amazing black and white photography, like Clive Butcher does. You know Clive mm-hmm. Butcher, who basically has embraced iPhone photography.
I know, yes.
And gives iPhone photography workshops. So anyway, here's the Ansel Adams story that John Sexton tells to the audience while we're giving this seminar. He says, this is like before the internet, right? He says, someone from New Jersey or the East Coast writes Ansel Adams a letter in Carmel. And he's really unhappy with Ansel Adams. Now, can you imagine anyone being unhappy with Ansel Adams? He says, dear Mr. Adams, I'm very unhappy. I have your books. I have your posters. You inspired me to go to Yosemite. And when I got there, it didn't look like that. So it's a funny story, but it doesn't look like that. So if you're using dramatic black and white, if you're using Photoshop, if you're using a lot of these things, who cares if it looks like that? You know, National Geographic sometimes cares, but as you know, I think it was the 70s or it was the 80s, I think, where they moved one of the pyramids on the cover.
They did.
They moved one of the pyramids, right?
National Geographic's editorial, so they do have a different standard than you or I you know, more artistic purposes for photography. But yeah, I get it. What do you say to people who think smartphones are killing photography? It sounds elitist snobbery to me.
I would say you're an elitist snob. There you go. You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. I know for a fact. I'm trying to see if I could tell this story. I know the camera companies are scared of the iPhone for sure. You know, first it killed their point and shoot, the compact cameras, right? Then it killed their video cameras, right? So, did you see that today? Or was it yesterday? Nikon bought Red. You
know, I posted on X that I read that where they had bought Red. I wonder where they're going with that.
Well, since everyone's using the iPhone, I have no idea where they're going. But the camera companies are scared. So I think what the camera companies have to do is, you know, focus on, you know, what's a camera good for? Wildlife, right? What's it great for? Sports, you know?
Well, I think there's also, this is coming from established photographers who want barriers of entry. Expensive gear being that barrier. So they want this to be an exclusive club, and they're against the democratization of photography. I mean, this is an easy barrier for people to get into photography. Just grab your phone and they learn composition and you can create great photos.
You can, and you can make great prints. Actually, the question I get most is, you know, what size print can you make? And if I can make a 17 by 22 inch print, now, you know, if you want to shoot stock, you know, well, I would say with the upsizing programs, you know, with the 48 megapixel camera, right, in the iPhone, and the upsizing program, right?
I mean, my R5 is 45 megapixels.
Yeah, so I know.
Why would you even need to upsize it unless you're going to be doing some cropping?
Yeah. You know, the other advantage of the iPhone is a small sensor. Everything's in focus. And then again, we could put the background out of focus. So we don't have to think about, okay, if we're doing a landscape, if I'm teaching a workshop, or we're in Antarctica and we're photographing, you know, all this ice. Okay, focus, use a small aperture and focus 1/3 into the scene. You don't have to tell people that. All you have to say, okay, tap on the main area of focus. That everything is in focus, like it. You mentioned our eyes, is just so cool. And then you could use whatever program to blur any part of the image you want.
Well, that's the possible drawback of this being the future. This phone is that physics. I mean, the laws of optics might present possible roadblocks, but I think software can circumvent most, if not all, that.
That's it. In Photoshop, Photoshop Express, you tap on the subject or you tap on the background. You could blur either one, you know, and you can control the degree of blur. You could do the same thing in Photoshop, right? With object selection. And I do that. So if I want to blur, if I'm taking a portrait, I want to blur the background. An object selection, for your listeners who haven't tried this, you could photograph a bird with the feathers sticking up, an egret, which I've done, and the backgrounds, you know, all these twigs and everything. We're just down in Wacotahatchee, nicknamed Wacko, in Florida. The background with all the twigs is distracting. Click on object selection in Photoshop, inverse subject. So this background is selected, and you go to Gaussian blur, Gaussian blur, however you want to say it, and you can blur the background.
And there's a single button now. It's in beta, in testing, in Lightroom, where it will give you that, you know, shallow depth of field look too. I mean, that's where all this going to be software can overcome those physics and optic problems. But
and it's becoming so easy to use. Yeah. You know, it's so easy. It's so easy. It's so much fun, and I think I have just as much fun processing, playing with the pictures. Maybe not as much fun, but I have a lot of fun playing with the pictures. You know, and sharing the pictures. You know, we set up this website again, the iPhone Photo Experience, and if I didn't tell people they were iPhone pictures, people wouldn't even know.
Okay, what is that website again? iPhone Photo Experience.
Yeah, iPhone. Yeah, I'll send you a link. iPhonePhotoExperience.com.
.com, just so people can go check it out.
Yeah.
Well, you make a great case for phones. Mm-hmm. And I'm slowly moving in that direction. And I think because 5 years from now and 10 years from now, this will be the norm. This phone will be the norm. Because I everything becoming smaller and lighter and more minimal, that this will be those big cameras that we see now, the big cameras, DSLRs and mirrorless are going to be like what we look at 4x5 and 8x10s now, right?
Right.
And that this will be the workhorse.
It is. I think that's a good term. Susan and I went to a concert last night. It's called Love Rocks in New York City. And we're in about the 20th row, and I had my – you're allowed to take pictures. And they had Conan O'Brien. He opened it. He's playing guitar. He was amazing. They had Martin Short there. They had the guy from the Eagles, one of the guitar players, former guitar players there. I got amazing low light pictures shooting Raw. And by the way, if someone's thinking about going on a trip or going seriously into this, my advice would be test. I did tests with my Galaxy S23 before I was going to Tanzania. And I tested the Expert RAW feature versus the high efficiency files. The difference is so great. I would never even shoot the RAW, the JPEG files with that camera. The Expert RAW files are so sharp.
In the Galaxy.
And I just, in the Galaxy. Right. I was photographing, you know, as we speak, you can see the guitars behind me. And I was and I'm just doing tests because it's kind of low light in my office. And I'm photographing the strings, and I have metal wound strings. And these are not scientific tests. These are just tests, you know, that I'm conducting. And between the JPEG files from the Galaxy and the RAW, the JPEGs were all like pixelated. You couldn't see the metal wound around the strings. And with the RAW, you could see everything. So I would say a test. And if you get the add-on lenses, the fisheye lens has a little vignetting. So knowing this, you know, shoot a little wider. But testing, so I was in the backyard. We have a pond in the backyard. And I'm in there. I'm photographing Susan on the shore. And my unscientific test, I want to see if I could see, if she's backlit, if I could see every hair on her head. And with the RAW files, I could. With the JPEG files, I couldn't. Again, with the S23.
Okay. iPhonePhotoExperience.com. Yep. Don't you also have a Facebook group with all yes. iPhone photographers?
Yeah, it's called the Smartphone Photo Experience.
Okay.
Yeah, as soon as we get off, I'll send you a link to all the apps I use.
And I'll put that. And I'll send you. I'll put that in the show notes so people can access it without having to remember.
Oh, great.
In addition, you've got your website, ricksalmon.com.
Ricksalmon.com. And you're on, I got a Kelby One. I got 45 classes on Kelby One.
Wow. And you're on Instagram at ricksalmon.
Yep.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. Yep. That's X. You're on ricksalmon. I think Instagram is ricksalmon photography, at ricksalmon photography. Yep. Okay. So
I'm all over the place. Yeah, I'm losing X track.
Twitter is at ricksalmon. Instagram is at Rick Salmon Photography. Rick, you make a great case for phone photography. I'm moving in that direction slowly, but I can see the future, and I think we just described it.
Well, if you have any questions, you know where to find me. And I have a course on Kelby One. It's called Traveling with Your iPhone Only.
Now, please send that link too.
Yeah, and that's for the that's all my Morocco pictures. So I did a whole 1 hour class on using that, which is a lot of fun.
Rick, good to see you again as always. Good to see you.
It's great to see you, my friend. We have to meet up.
We keep saying that. We've said that for years now.
For years. I know.
Either we have to make an effort, or we're just going to end up in the same places at the same time. And it's going to happen. So
it is. Maybe in an airport, you know, you'll be shuffling along with your sandals, and I'll be there in my sneakers. I'll say, hey, I know that guy. Yes. I know that dude.
All right. Thanks again for coming on. This has been fun.
You've been listening to Beyond the Lens with me, Richard Burnaby. Thanks to Rick Salmon for taking the time to join me in this fun and informative conversation. And thanks to you, of course, for listening. You can tweet me at Burnaby Photo with any comments or feedback. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, a rating on Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. I'd love to hear what you think about the show and what you'd like to see from Beyond the Lens in the future. You can sign up to receive an email when a new episode drops at our website, beyondthelens.fm. Here's to truth, adventure, and passion. See you next time.